You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, and sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about most. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, kids growing up without two parents are just about the norm these days. Shame on all NFL owners, except one. You need to hear this story. And go ahead, laugh it up, smart guy. You'll learn all about the importance of humor in the workplace. Let's meet the friends, voting early and often for you to enjoy the show. It's Aaron Myers.
So we're pretty sure we know who's running for president for the Democrats, but the Republican Party, it's wide open. I can tell you one person is out, though. I'll let you know who it is.
She can't put down the phone because she's the producer of the show. Brooke Peterson is here.
As much as we love our cell phones, HD TVs, and Wi-Fi, do they love us back or are they killing us slowly?
And he promises a route if you want to go head-to-head. It's Chris Martin.
Does sportsmanship mean you have to take it easy on your competition? We'll debate.
Oh, okay, good. I have an opinion about that. Now that I can be sorely beaten without any problems, right?
Right.
Back in my prime, though. Back in my day.
Back in my day.
Well, I can play horse with the best of them.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure you're still good for one good go, though, right?
Oh,
like
yeah,
one
sure.
One good game of something.
Yeah.
Like a full game, though?
Just not going to do best 3 out of 5.
No.
Okay.
And then bring on the pain pills.
Right.
Yeah. All right, let's get things started with you, Aaron. Who's not running for president?
Paul Ryan, who
what?
Is the VP candidate in 2002, said yesterday that he would not be running for president in 2016. He says he wants to focus on his new role in Congress as chairman of the influential House Ways and Means Committee. So that's going to open it up a little bit because they're saying this Republican field could be very convoluted. There's a lot of people who might be running. So at least, well, now there's one less.
Is that what you say, Aaron? You say I'm not running when you want people to draft you into the
race. Probably. You want to see if they say, no, don't do that. We need you.
So saying I'm not running is a trial balloon then.
Probably.
He wants to see what kind of reaction he gets from followers and from fundraisers and all of that.
Yeah, people want to feel important. This is a way to test it out maybe.
Yeah.
So.
And then if nobody says anything, okay, fine.
You can still hold your face high.
I'll focus on this Ways and Means Committee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Very good. And good luck to you, Congressman Ryan. All right. This story just has me, I don't know. What in the world are people doing when they're running their companies and running their football teams where the public it should be your number one focus? And how in the world did this happen? Just explain the story. This is mind-boggling.
Well, part of it's really cute, and then the other part makes you go, aw, poor kid. So a 12-year-old named Cade Pope, I guess he's a huge NFL fan. Well, he sent a letter to all 32 NFL teams about 2 weeks ago saying he needed help deciding what team he should be a fan of. Well, so far, as of today, he's only gotten one response, and that was from Jerry Richardson, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, and that was actually a handwritten note.
Good for Jerry.
Yeah, handwritten, saying that they would be honored if he was a Panthers fan. So, you know,
is the kid a taker?
He says that if he doesn't get any more notes, then he will definitely be a Panthers fan.
Well, now that the word is out, it's almost like, it's like when mom says, don't forget to send a thank you note to your sister. And, oh, great. Now it's mom's idea, not mine, right?
Yeah, I think he's going to get some more, probably. So then he's going to have to decide, really, come on, the first one did it without prompting.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because I know what you mean when you say part of you is like, oh, poor kid. Because if no one else responds, now he has to live with a lifelong disappointment of being a Panthers fan.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which is going to be rough. I feel for him.
And Panthers might be one of those teams that could ultimately move to Los Angeles, Chris. Isn't that true?
No. Panthers aren't coming. It's either going to be the Rams or the Oakland Raiders. Most likely the Rams, although they're saying that's just a bid to get a new stadium over there in St. Louis.
That's what I've heard, too.
But they're Carolina testing. Got blown out this weekend by the Seattle Seahawks in the playoffs.
Well, they were playing the Seahawks.
That's true. They
been playing
in Seattle,
you know, one of the other teams, Denver or Dallas or whatever, they might have done better.
A little bit more competitive.
Nobody's going to beat Seattle. Did I not pick Seattle to win the Super Bowl 2 weeks ago?
It's clairvoyant.
Super Bowl going all the way, you think, huh?
Oh, yeah. Nobody's going to beat them right now. There's nobody in their league.
We'll see. They got to face Green Bay this weekend, and that's probably the only team
Seattle.
That could do it. You're right.
Seattle. Yeah. All right.
We'll see.
Speaking of Seattle,
I know.
They have a nice bus system there, Aaron.
They do, and apparently more than just people get to ride it. There is a dog named Eclipse, and Eclipse is a black lab bull mastiff mix, and
whoa.
I guess she uses the buses to get around town. She knows how to get on the bus from her apartment and gets off the stop at the dog park. And
by herself?
She can do it by herself. She has her owner, who sometimes will go with her, but every once in a while he's sitting there. He says he smokes and he takes too long, so she just hops on the bus on her own, takes a ride, sits next to people. She likes the window seats, they say.
Oh my gosh.
And then gets off at the park.
She's
and
like, I'm
he
out.
Catches up with her.
I'll catch you up later.
Has Seattle Transit figured out how to collect a fare from canines?
They have not said that, but they say the public really likes it, and they say they love the fact that Eclipse supports public transit, and they actually say she would be much safer if she could have her owner on the leash.
How long will it be before the doors to the bus open and the riders are mauled by an angry dog?
Aww. Right. Yeah. No.
Did I just ruin the story?
Yes.
Next thing you know, it's a Doberman.
What a bus kill, Bill. Thanks so much.
She's really cute, and she just sits there and looks out the window and thinks of the fun times at the dog park.
Gosh, that is so great. I would love to see that. I would make my day if I saw that.
Yeah, a dog on a bus by itself.
Well, especially a lab and a bull mastiff mix. That's got to be a weird-looking dog. Is it like a lab with tiny legs?
No, she just looks very more lab than...
Is that, is that one of those slobber dogs?
Bull mastiff, it sounds like.
Yeah.
You're in there with your good work shoes and your slacks and all of that, and the dog comes up and starts licking you on the knee.
She's like, hey, buddy.
Or does one of those shakes... You know?
Oh, like the Beethoven movies with the St. Bernards?
Yeah.
Slow motion?
Or Turner and Hooch?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Man, you saw all those movies? All right, all the slobber gets on your little tablet or your cell phone. And because you're on it all the time, Brooke, isn't that right? I mean, people are constantly holding on to their cell phone or their tablet.
Addicted. I think that's old news. We're all completely addicted to Wi-Fi and cellular and HDTV and the great technology happening these days. But there is a new study coming out, and I also don't know that this is necessarily earth-shattering news. We know the EMF and the radio frequency electromagnetic field radiation.
Well, that sounds dangerous.
Right. That can, apparently it takes a little time, but it can... it has been linked to cancers of the brain, salivary glands, ADHD, low sperm count, and among girls who keep cell phones in their bra, breast cancer. So, But the point is of this new study is that we need to be more careful around your children, because children, they're smaller, they absorb things easier, their brains are softer, their bones are softer.
What in the world are children doing wearing bras?
Good question, Phil.
They can dream.
That's a good question.
I used to dress up when I was little, my mom's clothes. I'm a girl.
We're just trying to understand this. Now, is this definitive science now that has, because you say has been linked, and I've been hearing these stories forever, but there's never been conclusive evidence, has there, that the radiation or whatever waves come off of your phone and other products actually does cause higher incidences of cancer?
That's a good point, because it does say it can take, up to decades to have these tumors develop. So I think they probably are still waiting to see what happens.
Chris, where do you carry your phone?
I carry it in my...
low sperm count, dude.
I used to carry it in my front pocket, but now that's going to change. I'm going to start wearing shirts with a pocket on the shirt. And I'll keep it
guys
there.
Can get cancer, breast cancer, too, so be careful
really?
With that one
that's
also.
True.
Yes.
Well, guy to guy here, Chris.
Sure.
As a playa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Playa.
I'm thinking logically here. Maybe you want a lower sperm count.
Oh, boy.
Certainly.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean, Phil?
Well, just decrease the odds that you might have an accidental.
A little crisk by accident?
Right.
Accidental.
Which we don't need that. No. Though I did just...
I can unleash your criskness on the world without...
Yeah, one of me is bad enough. Though I did just tweet a picture of me holding a baby.
Did you say unleash your criskness, Brooke?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Where is this show going? By the way, we're trying an experiment today. I don't know if you recognize it. We have two female voices and two male voices. This is the first time it's ever happened, if I'm not mistaken. We've had guests in the studio.
It's historic.
Female guests, but we've always had the three male voices and the one female. And I must say, so far it feels okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it. I get to sit next to both of them.
All right.
I like girl power.
Yeah. Speaking of girls and girls in sports, Chris, quite a ball. Was it a basketball game?
It was. It was a high school basketball game here in Southern California, actually.
Yeah. And how did that go?
Well, if you're a Royal Valley High School, it went really well because they played Bloomington High and they beat them 161-2.
They beat them 100. Wait, what?
161-2.
That's what you call a rout right there.
That is. That's the definition of a blowout.
I don't even know how that's possible. It baffles the mind.
Painful to watch.
Well, the Bloomington, is that what it is?
Bloomington High.
What city is that from? Do you know?
It's not the city of Bloomington? Somewhere in Southern California, yeah.
Maybe I don't know that we have a Bloomington in SoCal. But anyway. That's a bad team, man. Mm. Bad team.
Arroyo must have a much better recruiting class. And that's exactly what the coach said for Arroyo. He said, listen, I didn't expect them to be that bad, which is kind of a harsh thing to say. But the Bloomington coach...
he said he should have been like, oh, they gave it their all. They're just shorter than us.
Yeah, right. He said, the Bloomington coach said, Arroyo won the game, but they lost in sportsmanship. You shouldn't feel sorry for my team. You should feel bad for that team because they're not learning sportsmanship
the right way. Oh, come on. Here's the thing.
How did they fail sportsmanship? Did they taunt them?
161-2, that's terrible.
Chris, do you think they should stop the game early when it looks like it's a fait accompli?
Yes. No, I don't think they should stop the game, but let me give you another little tidbit of information. The Arroyo High School coach played his starters the entire second half.
So at some
point, it's always a 12-man, or in this case, woman roster. Let the people that don't get any game time get in there.
Right on.
Why bury them?
Yeah, put the guys that maybe the second tier that may be a little more even with the other team.
Yeah, right.
But they still probably obviously could have.
Well, here's the thing. As a sportsman,
right.
You have to think, all right, now if you're one of the starting five, you're one of the best players on the team, you're thinking, oh, this is all right here. Can we hit 200?
Right.
You know, and you put in your second or third string, the likelihood of hitting 200 is lower. So you got to go for it.
Were they going for a record?
Wouldn't you like to go for it? I mean, 200 to 2, 200 to 4, whatever.
They had already beaten the record for a high school team beating another high school team. 161. I think the previous one was 107-2. There was another team that did 100-2.
Yeah.
The team that won 100-2, their coach was fired for doing that.
You know what? I think the Lakers should probably go practice with these girls because they might learn something this season.
They might lose.
Just saying. Yeah.
Might be a problem.
Hey, up next, a whole bunch of new CDs are coming out. And why do we care? Well, because of one CD from a certain artist that you thought you'd never hear come off of the lips of anybody talking about CDs coming out. And that's next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, we're back. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Hi, how are you? I'm Phil. Aaron Myers, Chris Martin, and Brooke Peterson.
Hola.
Are here. They're the friends today. And just got a note that people are saying, go Team Estrogen.
Woohoo!
Got the ladies in here. Some new CDs out this week. From a lot of the people you expect to put out CDs, DMX, Guster, Megan Trainor, Jasmine Sullivan. I don't know who half of these people are, frankly, but apparently they're big names. Jackson Ward, Justin Townes Earl. But of note, there's a new record called The Soundtrack of My Life, and it is being put out by one Donny Osmond.
Oh, geez.
When's the last time you heard of him in the news, right? Or about music, at least. He recorded this album to celebrate his 50 years in show business, and it opens with the first record he ever bought at the age of 11, Stevie Wonder's My Sharia Moore, which came out in 1969, and Stevie Wonder plays harmonica on it, just as he did in the original. So of interest, there you go. Rush out and buy Donny Osmond's The Soundtrack of My Life, kids.
I met him once.
Did you?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
It was interesting. He's like a caricature almost, like that drawing you get done at the beach where you have the big head.
Yeah.
That's kind of what he's like in real life. He doesn't seem real when you meet him. He was very nice, but just there's like not real.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. I can see that, yeah.
Yeah. All right. You know what? We're talking about our childhood and all of that, and the nuclear family as we knew it back in 1969 when Donny Osmond was 11 is quite a bit different than it was. It's different today than
it was
back then, Brooke. And there's some latest facts here about how many kids grow up with two parents and how many do not. And what have you learned from this study?
Well, the Pew Research Center did this study, and it has concluded that nowadays less than half of children grow up in what is considered to be a traditional family home, meaning two heterosexual parents, original marriage, and now, back in the 60s, it was 73% of children grew up in this kind of traditional home. In the 1980, it was 61%, and now it's less than half.
It's 40-something percent? Is that what you're saying?
It's 40-something percent.
Wow.
Close to 50.
Yeah. And so if you follow this trend, eventually that traditional nuclear family is kaput.
Well, it's changed. Do you like the TV show Modern Family?
Yeah.
That's
sort
of the way it is. People are marrying later, it says, which I think we all can attest to. I think we all have friends who are marrying later, having children later. The share of children born outside of marriage has jumped to 41% compared to just 5% in 1960 and is more accepted now.
Right.
The biggest shift in family structure, it says, was that 34% of children were now living with unmarried parents.
Hmm. In practical senses, when it comes down to tax rolls and all of that, are states and maybe the federal tax code recognizing unmarried parents and giving them something like the same tax benefits that married couples get?
I don't know.
I don't think we're there yet. Are we?
Well, the ones that have approved gay marriage, I believe, recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be that type of family unit. But then doesn't California also have a rule called common law marriage where if you live together for like 5 years, you're considered married?
7 years, something like that.
States have something like that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. All right. Because that's, I guess when you look at it, when people say, well, marriage is just a piece of paper, you know, some of the religious leaders might disagree with that. But just the same, when it comes down to, if you're going to be pragmatic about it, it does come down to taxes and what it means to the family economics. If that piece of paper has less and less meaning from a state-sponsored point of view, then I think this trend is going to continue and probably accelerate, I would think. If people didn't have to get married, maybe they're not going to.
Well, doesn't always end well. It keeps, like, divorce rate goes up higher and higher, too, so for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, people split regardless, married or not married.
Moving on.
Isn't that right?
On. That's right.
I think some people in this room know a thing or two about that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. Hey, you know what? Aaron, I know you know a thing or two about, we were talking about phones there and the radiation in the last segment. You know a thing or two about iPhones. You have one of those, don't you?
I do, and it's always with me. Always.
Is it possible to just
watch out.
Stash it in a closet somewhere, lock it up, and not use it for a day or two?
You know what? I've tried, and here's the thing. There's a study from the University of Missouri that says cell phone separation is actually linked to anxiety and poor cognitive performance, and that when people were not allowed to answer their iPhone, their heart rates and blood pressure surged. So not a good thing, apparently, when we get separated from our phones. But there are some things they're saying that we should be able to do without it. And here's six of them. Your job. You should be able to, once you leave your workplace, not use your phone for work.
Huh.
You should be able to eat out without sitting there on your phone. Put it in your purse. Put it in your pocket.
I
don't use it.
Honestly, I've been working at that.
It's hard, though.
It's a process, but I've been working at it.
A lot of my guy friends sit there, and they have scores of games, especially now, on their phones. And you're like, come on. We're out to dinner.
Yeah.
You should be able to drive from point A to point B. I guess without GPS, if you really don't need it, walk.
What? Use a map?
Yes, you should be able to walk, too, because here's why. 2 in 5 teens have been hit or nearly hit by a car or bike while walking and using their phones.
So remember Thomas Guides, the maps that came in the book?
I still have mine in my car as we speak right now.
Well, I used to use those exclusively back before we had the GPS and all of that. But when you think about it, we were driving around with the Thomas Guide in our laps.
So it's not really any better than, using your
phone. Hopefully the passenger was.
No.
Oh.
The drivers.
Yeah.
When you think about people who are in the sales business, you're typically driving by yourself out there, and a lot of people in sales.
That's a good point.
Sales.
Then you're like having to turn pages, and it's kind of a hefty little book, so you
it's
have to
small.
Use two hands and all that kind of stuff, too.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Although it's got to decrease your brain function a little bit now that all you have to do is type in an address and figure it out, because the Thomas Guide, at least you'd have to know, like, longitude and latitude.
There's some skills involved, yeah.
Yeah, you have
indexes,
to know the street names.
Sure,
yeah.
Exactly. But
turn
now,
left
but now I'm worried
mile.
About SEPSA. Cell phone separation anxiety.
Yeah, it's bad. Bad. And the last two, spend time with your kids.
Yep.
Without your phone and sleep. Put your phone far, far away.
Yeah. All right.
So.
Okay. Very good. And when you're driving, you see these alerts on the freeways all the time. They have those. I don't know if they have this in every city and every state, but here in California, we have these electronic signs that, for the most part, they have some kind of stupid message on there. Don't forget to put your seatbelt on, or report a drunk driver, something like that. And then people see the sign is on, they slow down, and it backs up traffic. But from time to time, they have these amber alerts, Chris, and it's important information. They'll give the type of the vehicle and what the driver looked like and a license plate and who's been abducted, and it's important. It helps to try to bring the kid to safety. But now there's a new element or a new layer to this that I think might help out. What is it?
Yeah, the evolution has changed a lot for these amber alerts. It used to be on the side of a milk carton, and then it ended up on these traffic signs. Well, starting today, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children has teamed up with Facebook, and Facebook will now be issuing amber alerts. Alerts will include a photograph and possible abduction location, and the notices will be tailored to specific locations, so you won't get it if you're two states
away.
That
is so smart, because social media can often be a lot faster than people glancing at a sign on the freeway and having to try to remember it.
Yeah, the amber alert people are looking at it as a very unique opportunity to see the news feed for people to see it and share it.
Hey, up next, here's a treat for you. We will talk to a guy who will more or less, all right, I'm going to distill it down to the basics. He's going to give you permission to laugh at your boss and your coworkers, and it's going to be good for you. And he doesn't guarantee you won't get fired, but just the same, that's coming up next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, here we go. I don't know how this is going to work, and I got to put out the disclaimer that if you do get fired this week from your job for following any of the advice that you hear in our conversation here upcoming, it's not our fault. Don't hold us responsible. In fact, there's a name you should know in the event you do want to hold somebody responsible. It's Dave Fleming. He's a speaker, author, workplace humorist. For 20 years, he's uncovered consumer insights while leading marketing for brands like Dr. Pepper, Snapple, Pizza Hut. You've heard of these. And now he shares his comedic insights about the workplace with companies like Southwest Airlines, Fujitsu, Hilton, Clemson University. And he joins us now to share some of those insights with us. Hey, Dave, I tell you, you don't have to look far for humor in the workplace. I mean, people, situations, they get into funny situations all the time, and they're just funny people. But I don't know that I've ever actually laughed out loud at anybody in the office. That's not what you're talking about, are you?
No, it's being able to look at things like, did that guy seriously just pick up a used pizza crust that was sitting on the break room table and shove it in his mouth and act like that isn't funny?
Hey.
Right. Well, that's a moment. It's in the spirit of opportunity. People take that up all the time. But the kitchen is a great place to start, isn't it? I mean, you've got those stupid signs on the fridge.
Yeah, the 90-point type with the all food will be removed at 5 on Friday.
Or then you open up the thing and somebody's little milk carton that is clearly turned a week ago and is unusable now, with the big sign on it with somebody's name on it, and it says "Do not take." Well, please, it's growing a little plant out of the top of it now. I want to take it and toss it.
Yeah, it's turned into a chia pet, but it's still got the passive-aggressive note on it.
But it's not okay to just bust out laughing at people in your office unless you're laughing with them, right?
I mean, I think we take ourselves way too seriously at the office. So as long as we're not, as you said, laughing at them, but laughing with them, I think it's a great way to get camaraderie going in a place that is, as you said, it's not a brick wall with stand-up comedians, but there's a lot of humor everywhere.
Yeah, and so I guess you just alluded to this a little bit. Self-awareness is important. We are funny at work as well, whether we intend to be or not, and so you got to be careful not to have a thin skin, right?
You do. I mean, you're going to do something silly. You're going to say something at your desk that you didn't realize everyone was cubes dropping and listened in on your conversation.
Cubes dropping.
I mean, it's going to happen.
All right, that's good. So there's a lot of monotony at work. You have these reports to turn in. You have weekly meetings. Oh, the weekly meetings. I hate the weekly meetings. Is there anything you recommend to break up that monotony?
Yeah, if you have that same meeting from the same boss with the same team all the time that's just killing you, I recommend 5 minutes of fun, and that's easy. It's just, you know, when was the last time you played paper football? Take the freaking agenda from the meeting, fold it up, and let's make some goalposts with our fingers and have some fun at the end of the meeting.
About an hour ago, by the way, that's the last time I played paper football.
Oh, yeah. Now, this is the kind of advice you've imparted to companies like Hilton and Southwest Airlines.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people have the wish to add that that level of thinking into their business. I mean, unless you work for a hospital or a very serious law enforcement or something, we're not 911. We don't have fire drills. The budget is not a fire drill. There's no smoke. There's no flame. So yeah. If we can all laugh and have some fun, we are absolutely going to be more productive. I just like to help people point out where the humor can be found.
Okay, so the Q4 numbers just came out, and they're horrid. And we're about to have a meeting to talk about why sales are so bad. And not only is the all the middle management there in the meeting, but the president and the CDO and the chairman of the board, they're all there. Is this a moment that is just ripe for humorous activity?
I wouldn't recommend that. It sounds like a career-limiting move.
Yeah, all right, good. So you got to pick your shots, naturally.
Absolutely. I mean, that sounded like somewhere where we're going to need to have our facts squared away. And then if things go well, maybe at the end you can throw something out about Jerry's shirt. But I would not start with that.
Yeah, there are certain things that seem to happen in every office. You talk about shirts and you go into these meetings, and it's funny what comes out. You have some stories in that respect, don't you?
I do. I love it when you walk into one of those meetings we were talking about and four of the five people are wearing a blue shirt and the person wearing a red shirt 100 out of 100 times will say, "Guess I missed the memo on the blue shirt."
Yeah. Oh, come on, Chris. You're patronizing our guests like that.
I'm just kidding.
Oh. No, it is funny. That you're right. You're right. I've heard that. In fact, I'm pretty sure I said that once. Except it wasn't a blue shirt. It might have been tie-dye.
That's weird.
It is. Well, I've worked in some weird places. But what's interesting is I think I was thinking about the meetings and who holds these meetings. And in your experience, Dave Fleming, in dealing with middle managers, vice presidents, or CEOs, or small business owners, who are the ones who are likely to have the least inclination to be funny or want to have fun or have a sense of humor?
I mean, I think typically as people move up the ladder in an office, they feel like they're in a position of a place where they cannot be less, they can't be as funny as they used to be, or they feel like they have to have this point of view or this persona of leadership. So they act that way. And I think they're less in contact with the folks that are doing the work every day and don't have those nuggets and those stories about Susie's kid or can you believe what happened in the cubicle the other day? And, you know, that's the place. The humor happens in the aisles and in the cubicles. When people are peering over the edge of the cubicle like prairie dogs, that's when it's fun.
Prairie dogs.
That's so true.
Have you received positive feedback from any of the companies that you've worked with where they were able to connect a straight line in the dots from your advice to increase productivity?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what I always try to do is tie what I'm talking about to either the corporate pillars. Every company has the important pillars or the things they're working on. And when I can encapsulate that and reinforce what they're working on with my stories, I think people see that, yes, we can still hit these goals and still have fun along the way. And that just makes a big difference. If you just switch your attitude just a little bit and realize that Steve over in supply chain and I can laugh about the thieves at the break room fridge, it's a way to make the projects better.
I know you have a Twitter, Dave Fleming Speaks, with a little at sign in front of it. You have a website as well, Dave?
Yeah, it's DaveFlemingSpeaks.com, one M in Fleming, and you can see some of what I do right on there and get some laughs about office birthdays and videos and so forth.
Fantastic. We'll add a link to your website on our links page at PhilHewlettAndFriends.com. Dave Fleming, a pleasure to speak with you. A couple of good yucks in there. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate you guys.
All right, there you go. It's Dave Fleming.
He's got a good delivery for comedy, doesn't
he?
Yeah, the whole time.
Deadpan?
Nice.
Yeah, that sort of deadpan. You know, and he lets everything pause a second. It works good. He'd probably be a good stand-up.
Why'd you have to be rude to him, though, Chris?
Oh, come on. That wasn't funny. That's my own joke.
Well, no.
I guess I missed
that's
the memo.
That's why you were laughing.
Not funny. I think we all agree. Not funny. Oh, well.
You tried.
You gave it a shot.
Yeah.
You gave it a shot.
We're not all comedians.
Hey, random stuff. People have only been using the word wasted to describe someone who's drunk since the late 1960s. Meanwhile, high has been in use since 1627.
Oh.
As a way to say hello?
No. Oh. We're off the humor thing.
Oh, okay. He's still trying.
He's working on it.
We've been talking a lot about cell phones, smartphones, and all of that. More traffic to porn sites came from phones and tablets last year than from computers.
Because it's on the go.
Yeah. Well, is that right?
I'm
I think
guessing.
You want to keep it
porn
separate.
On the go.
Yeah.
Aaron, you're on to something.
There you go. I'm at the airport. I'm stuck long lines.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Not that I do that. I'm
no,
just saying.
No, of course not.
Go hit the restroom stall.
Yeah.
People are in there a while.
Wide stance, the whole deal. All right. Oh, that's ugly. That is ugly. All right, let's see. Up next, and there's something else that's ugly but beautiful at the same time, but we love talking about her. It's Kim K. It's the Kardashian, and we have an update on how successful or not her app that came out with a big splash is doing. We're going to get an update on that, and you will be surprised how little money she's actually made with the Kim Kardashian app, and that's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Listen to this. Men are not 100% shallow. Men are only like 83% shallow. A dating website surveyed more than 145,000 American men to find the traits that make up the perfect woman. Perfect in quotation marks here. And while most of them are superficial and stereotypical, at least education made the cut. The top six most popular traits men value in a woman are blonde hair, blue eyes, a slender body, not smoking, social drinking, and a graduate degree.
That one surprises me.
Yeah.
How about
they
a good
want them
cook?
To drink.
How does that get dropped off?
Of all six, having a graduate degree was picked as the most valuable trait. I'm with you, Chris. I mean, the cooking thing is important. The straightest way to the man's heart is through his stomach, right?
See, I'm glad that one's not
me
on
too.
There.
I'm on board with that one.
Yeah. Graduate degree was the most valuable trait just ahead of blonde hair. Social drinking was the least important out of the six, but there you go. So we're not completely shallow. We want to have a graduate degree level conversation with you.
A Barbie doll who's smart.
Dr. Barbie doll, yeah.
Yes.
Dr. Barbie doll?
Dr. Barbie.
Do they have that?
Oh. They will now.
Okay, good, because she's hot.
And she's smart. She can do it all.
You know who's smart and does it all and seems to just whatever she does, she makes a ton of money, is Kim Kardashian.
And she's not blonde.
No.
And she's not really slender. She's curvy.
Mm-hmm. Is that what that thing is?
The badonkadonk.
That bumpy.
It's not even just the badonkadonk. She's got it everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. So what's so the she put out an app recently.
She did. It was back in the summertime, and they were projecting 400 or 200, hang on 1 second, a $200 million profit from this app. And it started off gangbusters. People loved it. It was number one for quite a while. But then after a couple of weeks, it really just hit the wall and just tanked, fell.
Oh, so she's not making any money with it?
But now, okay, well, here's the thing. Kim is doing fine. She's getting her cut off of the revenues. And so it ended up making about $43 million at the end of the last quarter.
Oh, so it bombed.
Horrible. Yeah, it's only $43 million. It's only, and she's getting like 40% of the revenues or something, 45% of the revenues.
Oh,
so she's okay.
She negotiated a good deal.
She's,
that's better than
a
lot
what?
Of app
for whatever people
get.
Say about Kim, and I'm not a hater. I'm more of a snubber as far as she's concerned. But the girl has some business sense or some good advisors or something. She's doing just fine.
I think it's her mom, though. I think it's the mom.
Does her mom get a cut?
She like keeps her claws in all of those girls, it sounds like, and guides them and tells them what to do, and it's
she's
working.
Like she's a mastermind.
It's working, yeah.
She's got it going on.
I'm just glad she doesn't have to struggle to eat for the next month. You know what I mean? That $43 million should hold her over.
Yeah,
yeah, she'll be okay. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Good for
she'll
you,
bounce.
Chris. Thank you. Kim will survive. All right. Somebody else who seems to survive beyond his years is a guy that we don't talk a lot about in the news anymore because his brother is in control of things. It's Fidel Castro over there in Cuba, where everybody is supposed to go vacation now, right, Aaron?
Yeah, so Cuba's been in the news quite a bit, but Fidel Castro not so much. But, you know, the rumors have been that he's very sick, he died, he hasn't been seen in public for quite a while. Well, yesterday, apparently Fidel Castro sent soccer legend Diego Maradona a letter to quash rumors that he had succumbed to death. But there's no pictures of him. So, you know, who knows if it's legit, but Maradona said, oh, you know, he's happy to get the letter. He says that he's happy to know he's well. But the
well,
last
why
time
that
he was...
guy? I mean, Maradona's from Argentina.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really say why him. I'm going to go with he's a fan or whoever maybe wrote the letter was a fan. If it wasn't him, I don't know. But there's still no pictures. The last time he was photographed was in August. So
I'm going with he's dead.
He's gone. Yeah.
There's a good chance. But how old is he? If he were not dead, do we know how old he'd be? He's got to be in his
88.
90s, right? Oh, 88. Okay.
Yeah. He's yeah. a good 4 years older than when he was diagnosed with something that most people die from.
Ooh.
Which I don't recall what
intriguing.
It was, but he was deathly ill for a while.
Yeah, so, you know, but we know he's a soccer fan.
And Saddam had all his lookalikes, his little decoys. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Saddam Hussein,
could,
yeah.
Yeah, so he could probably have these other people just sort of posing to be Fidel.
How hard would it be to find really old, decrepit-looking dudes?
Not too hard.
Yeah.
Not too hard.
A bunch of those
just
out there.
Just put an ad out on Craigslist.
Yeah.
You know what he should have said? I'm sorry, Aaron.
Oh, no, I was going to say, faking a signature is not hard either, so it doesn't necessarily
done that?
Have to be... No, don't ask my mom about high school, but no.
All right, good. Now, it's a shame that he just sent a regular letter, Chris, and not a special letter.
Yeah, because this is a letter that you would send to your enemies. There's an upstart company from Australia, and they have this really interesting idea. See what you guys think about it. They own a website called Ship Your Enemies Glitter. Pretty well straight to the point, huh?
Ship Your Enemies Glitter.
That's right.
.com, or is it .au? For Australia or AS or whatever.
That's a good question. I didn't click on the link. I was afraid it might spam me.
All right.
Now, this company claims that they will send so much glitter in an envelope to the recipient that they will be finding that stuff everywhere for weeks. They use a different expletive besides stuff.
Yep. Wow.
It's kind of like kill them with kindness. It's glitter.
Well, you know what? Here's
is
the thing.
Is that kind, though? Let's think about it.
It depends on the person, maybe.
Think about the U.S. Post Office and some of the events of recent history with senators and others getting envelopes with a white powder inside. And how the hazmat teams and the FBI and Homeland Security and everybody gets involved because there's always a chance it's going to be something poisonous. It could be ricin. It could be anthrax, something like that. And people get sick, just kind of contact sick when they hear there's an envelope with powder in it. And they're not really sick, but it just happens. What is it?
Psychosomatic.
There you go. Thank you, ladies. Glad you're here today. just the same, I mean, if you send glitter, the intent is almost the same as the people that send the white powder, is it not?
Kind of.
Would the post office or Homeland Security have an issue with that?
Can you imagine them showing up in hazmat suits to open an envelope and glitter pops out all over them? That's going to be, you know, not happy about having to spend money on that one.
Right. Not funny. Not fun.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And somebody's in trouble. And does it come back to the person who mailed it, or does it go to that company that is publicizing, hey, do this. We're having all kinds of fun in Australia. Go ahead and try it in your country where maybe people won't have a yuck off of it.
Apparently, it's perfectly legal. Costs about $8 to send it. There are some other companies that claim that they'll send dog poop, which actually is illegal in the U.S. So,
oh, really?
Don't go to one of those websites. Okay. But yeah, if you want to passive-aggressively assault somebody, send them an envelope. Full of
you
glitter.
Can't mail.
What does it explode?
What if you
can't mail excrement?
Prepare it and you're sending it off to some farm concern in the Central Valley of California, where almost everything in the United States is grown for our tables, and you're sending it off to be plowed into the field.
Good point. And there's probably exceptions for that, or even like analyzing, because sometimes you'll send it to a laboratory so they can analyze your horse or your cow to see whether or not they're sick.
Yeah.
There might be exceptions for that, but you can't do it just so you can.
In fact, I'm pretty sure there's a website, whatsinmyexcrement.com.
And if there's not, you should purchase it right now. Somebody get GoDaddy on the phone.
That's a good idea. There you go. I'm going to get right to work on that. And in fact, I might send a couple of those envelopes full of glitter and just see what happens.
I think about the person that opens, you know, those people that open the envelope by tearing the short end of it and then they blow into it to open it up.
Uh-huh.
And then the glitter just blows out all over their face. And
I don't know. I've gotten worse over the years at opening envelopes where I open a little of it, get my finger in there and rip across, and then the envelope is obliterated.
Right.
And very often the contents of the envelope is obliterated. Oh, no,
just
it's a
breathe,
check.
Phil, just breathe.
Just breathe a little. Hey, a new study found out that the best way to get over a breakup, and Aaron, you might find this interesting.
Okay.
Are you over your most recent breakup?
That I am.
Oh, good.
Yes.
The study found that the best way to get over a breakup is not getting over it.
I'm screwed then, because I was over it real fast.
What does that mean?
Wait, that doesn't even make sense.
I know.
Well, scientists found that people who spent time dwelling on their relationship had faster recoveries than people who immediately tried to move on.
Really?
Yeah. It makes sense. So it sounds almost like a therapeutic thing.
So you don't have to think about a way down the road, maybe?
Well,
like
it's basically
comes back to haunt you?
It's basically because thinking about a breakup helps you move on.
So you're just confronting it head on without trying to.
Now, if you're obsessive or compulsive or anything like that, I wonder if this is bad advice. If you're the kind of person that stalks your ex, and, you know, those types of people. You're not like that, Aaron, are you?
No,
Aaron?
No. When I'm done, I'm done.
Oh. Done and done.
Yes.
But we're done with our first hour. There's another hour yet to come with all sorts of exciting topics, including the top 10 guys women fantasize about cheating with. And is the new ad campaign from McDonald's smart or despicably exploitive? Those stories are more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends, coming up next. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show, where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, with all the unrest in Europe after that terror attack in Paris, does it even make sense to travel there? And what if you're already booked? Our travel guide joins us live with some advice for you. And is it time you started shredding your tax records from 1998? The friends are here. Aaron Myers, Brooke Peterson, and Chris Martin. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. Get things started in this hour. There's a new ad campaign, Aaron, from McDonald's. And what are they doing over there?
Yeah, so they've been struggling a little bit. We've talked about that. So they have a new campaign that they aired on the Golden Globes and during the NFL playoffs. And it actually features a montage of signs outside of McDonald's restaurants, and they include support messages from events that have happened, and they're sad events. So they have one that says, "We remember 9/11 and Boston Strong," and they said they were doing this, you know, to try to show that McDonald's, you know, their theme is loving it. Well, it's, you know, showing love for the community and trying something different. Well, some people thought it was very nice and touching, and then others have said it's propaganda and, you know.
Oh, there's also the thing, anytime a corporation gets into that kind of business, people say, well, it's a false empathy.
Yes.
they're really just using these events to tug at our strings, and it's exploitive.
Yes, and that's kind of what people are saying with this too. There were some positive responses to it as well, but you know, in general, they're saying, you know, it's McDonald's, it's fast food, it doesn't associate with things like that.
Yeah, yeah, it associates with cardiac arrest.
Another negative event, yes.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, there you go. Add that to the ad campaign. We feel bad for you to show people on tubes in the hospital, and that'd be great. Okay. There's the law. When you break the law, you got to answer to it, right? You got to take responsibility. You got to have your day in court and settle things up with the man, as it were. And
you do, and
it doesn't matter how old you are. If you do something wrong, it's going to be anywhere from a slap on the wrist to time in jail. And tell us about this scoff law, Aaron.
Yes, I mean, this kid, wow. I mean, wow.
Kid.
9 years old, and he is apparently a criminal. But I'm going to say the Idaho prosecutor is kind of a meanie in this sense, because this little boy from Idaho, he stole a pack of gum. And still bad, he stole. So I guess he had a court date.
Yeah.
He didn't go because he's nine. He can't drive. And apparently his family did not have a way of getting him there. So they set a second court date, didn't show up again. They arrested him for a warrant. They put a warrant out for his arrest. The little kid got arrested, and he is now in a juvenile detention center, where in that situation, shouldn't it be the parents or the guardians
who
should be held responsible
up.
For that?
Yeah,
not the nine-year-old kid who can't get there on his own.
Nine-year-old doesn't have a driver's license.
No.
Doesn't have a job.
No.
Right? Well, do all kids at that age, more or less that age, like 7 to 9 years old, do they all go through a klepto phase?
Yes.
Probably. I did.
Did you? Who didn't? You did
I
not?
Was bad.
No, I did. Yeah. There were a couple things I did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think I stole anything from an actual store, but I remember I took a friend's necklace that I thought was pretty, and I took it home with me, and I got caught.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. See, and you learn your lesson.
I mean, I did.
What I did, I saw a truck at the toy store that I liked, so I took it to the local vacant lot, and I rubbed it up in the dirt real good, put a couple dents in it, and you know. But then I still brought it home, and that way I had a story for my mom. Where'd you get that? Well, I found it in the field. You know,
you were a smart kid.
Yeah. Brand new truck. But then at night, you know, growing up in a Catholic household, I was racked with guilt. I mean, I was taken from purgatory to hell, and I had the shivers and the deliriums, the whole thing. And I felt I might have even fallen out of bed a couple of times. I don't know what I did with the truck. I don't remember now. I probably continued to play with it. But just the same, I got punished that night just on my own, in my own head.
Yeah.
Guilt will eat you alive. I remember one time in Idaho, I stole candy from a store. And the reason was lightning struck the parking lot and the power went out. So me and my friend just went on a frenzy. We
you
just started
looted.
Grabbing stuff
oh
and throwing
gosh.
It in.
Oh,
my
gosh.
Yeah.
And, break any windows, too?
Yeah, sure enough, we got busted. Apparently, they pay attention to that kind of thing. You know? When the power goes out and there's kids in there, they know.
Well, now you got busted. What, define that for us. Elaborate.
They wouldn't let us out of the store. They put the store on lockdown. So we're there looting stuff, shoving as much stuff as we can in our pocket. They shut the doors and they put a security or one of their attendants at the door, and nobody leaves until they're searched.
I want to take you back to that toy store where I got that truck. I came back there one day on my bike just because I liked going to the toy store and taking a look at what they had over there. And, you know, I only took the truck. That's the only thing I ever took. But out in the little planter where I was going to lean my bike up against and then walk inside, there was an unspent pop rocket or whatever they call them, those little plastic things that look like a bottle and you pull on one end and they shoot the streamers out of it. They've got a little cap inside and it shoots off all the streamers. I found one in the planter, and I'm right near the front door, and the glass window is right there where the guy who owns the joint is standing there at the cash register. I pick it up, and I'm holding it, and I'm checking it out, and the guy comes out and accuses me of stealing it.
Oh, no.
So you got caught that time and not the first time.
Yeah. And I said, I found it right here. He said, no, you went in the store and stole it. And and he yelled at me up and down, and I gave it back to him and took off riding as fast as I could.
Oh, racked with guilt again.
Well, racked with guilt.
Yeah, none of us were meant to be criminal masterminds, I don't think.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Yeah. You know who's a mastermind of... we're not going to talk about that yet. We're going to hold off on that guy. I wanted to find out what the best jobs are these days, Aaron, and I heard there's a new list out, and you have a list of the top jobs for this year, because it's an evolving list from year to year, is it not?
Yes, and this is done by U.S. News, the one I have. And the reason it struck me is because the number one job just doesn't make sense. Because I'd always heard that this job was not a job many people want because it's stressful and, well, it's a dentist. Because you hear those stories when I was talking about it. Yes. Depression and all of that. But apparently it's actually a good job to have because you can have a decent work-life balance compared to other healthcare jobs. Hmm. So it's number one, nurse practitioner, a software developer, physician, dental hygienist, physical therapist, computer systems analyst, information security analyst, registered nurse, and physician assistant. So either medical field or, you know, computer analysis.
Well, there are jobs to have in the medical field, mm-hmm. and it's an interesting irony because the doctors I know are getting out of the business early. They're retiring early, or they're shutting down their shop, or they're just – it's a different business model altogether because the rules have changed in healthcare quite a bit. So the guys who've been in it for 20 or 30 years are saying, okay, I don't need to do this for another 10 years. It's way too much paperwork, way too much hassle. I'm just getting out now. And so those guys are leaving, which means there's a nice vacuum on the bottom for new blood. And there's an additional millions of people who are insured now who can get healthcare from a doctor as opposed to a clinic. Or an ER. And so there's a huge demand for more doctors. So will there be enough people to fill that demand? That question remains to be answered. Hmm. Make sense?
Yeah. If only I could be medical. If only.
Really?
Yes.
It's so much school.
I know, but man.
You could start now. You might be a doctor by, I don't know, 20, 30.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to, well.
Unless they have an express lane for that these days. I think that's probably coming.
You can just get it online. Degree,
probably
right?
So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm a doctor. Look at this. I printed it just yesterday.
Mm-hmm. You know what else you can get online these days, more and more, is good television, Brooke.
Mm. And there's more, supposedly, coming down the pipe from Mr. Woody Allen.
Really?
Are you a fan, Woody Allen?
Sure, especially his older movies.
Well, he's never done TV. But he has now just signed something with Amazon Prime. Mm. And although he says he has no ideas for what he's going to do, there's no casting involved.
Wow.
He's saying that he's sort of gotten himself in a little over his head.
Yeah.
And that Mr. Roy Price, who's the vice president, is probably going to regret his decision.
Wow.
That's funny to start with.
Though. Yeah.
I like when you can get a deal with not having an idea. That's awesome.
No cast, no idea.
What's the matter with our agents?
Like, yes,
come on.
I know.
Get on the stick.
Somebody Woody Allen, I guess.
We changed our name to Woody Allen. Yeah.
And he's almost 80 years old. He's like 79. And he's starting this whole new venture in his career.
How about that? That means his wife is only 40 now, right? Is that right?
Something like that, probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His niece, wife.
Yeah.
Is that what that was?
Was it stepdaughter?
It was stepdaughter.
Or adopted stepdaughter.
Oh, niece is a little close.
Right. Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry, Woody.
Yeah, that was a different famous
person. Don't come after me. All right. Hey, the first time they had a national championship game in the playoff era for NCAA football last night, and a big game between the Ohio State, what are they? The something eyes.
Right. The Ohio State Buckeyes.
Buckeyes, yep. And the Oregon Ducks.
That's right.
How'd that go?
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're at ESPN, it went swimmingly because it's the highest rated, now the new highest rated cable broadcast in history.
Wow.
Only surpassing themselves from the two playoff games from last weekend. And the Ohio State routed Oregon 42-20. It was a very unexpected victory by most, including Vegas.
No, you know what? No, I expected it because Oregon got rid of the green. They, for the first time, played without green, and they will never do that again.
Lucky
mark my
color.
Words.
Lucky
right,
color.
You were saying that. They were in all white, and that was their downfall.
Yeah, white, gray, and silver, or black and silver, whatever. Like Raiders colors, basically.
Yeah, you hear that? Take note, Oregon.
Yeah.
No more taking away the green. Well, in Columbus, Ohio, 8,000 OSU fans hit the streets to celebrate after the victory. They lit over 90 fires and converged on the Ohio State football stadium where they tore down the goalpost.
Oh,
boy.
The fires they were lighting included couch fires and dumpster fires. Police had to suit up in riot gear and shoot tear gas and pepper spray into the crowd to disperse them from the stadium because apparently that's how you celebrate in Ohio.
Yeah, well, yeah, and apparently, you know.
What's wrong with people?
It's Ohio.
I don't know.
What's the big deal if Ohio burns? You know,
Oregon
is so much prettier,
yeah,
right?
Well, yeah. Ohio's really next pretty. To Michigan, and we should get rid of that one, too. So
yeah.
Why not?
Wow. All right. Well, good. There's at least that. And they're the first national champion. Did the trophy change?
The trophy, I don't think the trophy changed. No, I didn't get a real good look at it. But I do want to throw a quick shout-out to that man-child, Ezekiel Elliott. The dude ran for 246 rushing yards and four touchdowns.
Yeah, that's remarkable.
Yeah, it was quite a performance.
All right, very good. Yeah. Hey, you know what? We were kidding about Ohio and about Michigan. And there's something
we love that. Were we, Phil?
Yes, we were, because there's something huge happening in Michigan. It's the Detroit Auto Show.
Well, that is good there, yes.
And we're going to go live to their show, where Chevy has unveiled what they believe is a Tesla killer. We'll explain what that is, and you'll hear all about it next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.
Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. We have a website, added.com to the name of the show, and you're there. And just kind of poke around. You know, when we talk about electric cars, there are some choices out there. But the conversation almost always navigates over to Tesla, that sleek, expensive car that travels a long way on a charge, a couple hundred miles or so. And up until now, the big automakers have not had an answer to Tesla. I say up until now. Joining us live from the Detroit Auto Show is Stuart Norris. He's the Director of Advanced Design at General Motors. And he joins us. Stuart, we want to know what Chevy is unveiling that speaks to the car-buying crowd that would really like to buy or lease one of those Teslas. What do you have there at Chevy?
Hi, Phil. Yeah, so we today, or yesterday, should I say, at the auto show, we revealed our concept vehicle for the Chevy Bolt EV. And so this is a concept version of the car that will be being launched in around 2017. And what we're bringing is we're really trying to bring the kind of aspirational to be attainable, and that is a 200-mile electric vehicle that we will be able to buy for around $30,000.
Oh, now we're talking, because the other vehicle is $70,000 to $100,000, I think.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is really at the heart of what Chevrolet is all about as a brand, and that's being able to bring, performance, technology, and design really to the masses.
Describe the vehicle for us. Is it one of them sleek sports cars, more of a crossover SUV concept? How would you describe it?
Well, it's really a unique proportion. It's kind of a subcompact size, slightly larger, maybe than today's Chevrolet Sonic, but smaller than kind of a Chevrolet Cruze. So it's in the subcompact area, but what we've been able to do is take advantage of a dedicated electrical vehicle architecture. So, you know, we've put the full battery pack right under the floor, and then we've given a slightly elevated seating position, which is probably reminiscent maybe of a small CUV, a small crossover. And it's a four or five passenger interior with a really great trunk volume. We've got a ton of interior spaciousness. So anybody who's kind of used to something like a small crossover interior package, that's kind of where we're at.
Oh, good. Do you have the captain's chairs or the single two seats in the front, or can you get a bench across and get three people in the front seat? Because I frankly miss that, and if you guys work on that, that would be my number one request for you.
Well, it's kind of, I guess our car's a little bit on the narrow side for us to get kind of three full-size passengers in the front.
Ah.
But we currently have a couple of, you know, as you described them, captain chairs up front. In the concept, we're showing four individual seats in the interior, and then a ton of trunk volume.
Love that.
And then we've got, because there's no kind of muffler and exhaust pipe coming through, and there's no transmission going to the rear wheels, we've got a super flat floor. It's all super spacious around the footwells in the front. So it's really about trying to bring a very, very practical interior space into a really compact overall footprint of the vehicle. And then again, you know, with this 200-mile range. So it's very practical and usable every day.
Right. Okay. And some of the things that people get distracted with in new cars, and you know this, they like the little cup holders all over the place and the different gadgets and functionality in the dashboard. Are there any other features you'd like to talk about that Chevy plans to include in the Bolt?
Well, we've if we talk a little bit maybe about the charging capability of the vehicle to begin with, I think that's a really important part of the electric vehicle experience.
Sure, 200 miles worth of charging. That seems like it might, by today's technology, might take a long time.
Well, we're not necessarily talking at the moment about how long the charging is going to take, but there'll certainly be options available to how quickly you'll be able to charge it. You'll be able to use a regular 120-volt you can just plug it into the wall using the travel plug-in charger that we have. You will be able to use 240-volt as well. And then there's a third option, which is DC, so AC to DC converted charging, which is fast charging. And basically DC allows us to basically dump a whole bunch of energy very, very quickly into the battery pack. So there'll be three options available for charging.
All right, so you could buy one of those DC stations, perhaps, if you had the cash and have it installed in your garage?
Right, and we also see that as a future opportunity as we look at public charging infrastructure as well, that's going to become an option in that regard.
So is Chevy enterprising to expand a network of fast charging stations at the moment?
I think there's kind of an opportunity for us to work with authorities and workplaces and so on, where that may be an opportunity in the future for sure, yeah.
All right. There are cup holders, right?
Of course.
Got to have the cup holders.
We all know that we can put as much content and technology into the inside of a car, but if you don't get the cup holders right, then,
done.
Yeah, very unhappy customers.
Right. Now here's something, and of course, you know, as technology rolls along, it's an unavoidable cost of doing business. You tend to cannibalize your existing fleet of vehicles, and everybody's excited about the Chevy Volt. But then all of a sudden, the attention will turn in 2017 when you start selling that model to the Bolt. Will the Volt get some kind of upgrade in its range?
Well, at the auto show this week, we've also revealed the next generation, the second generation Chevrolet Volt as well. So that vehicle has about a 30% improvement in its electric range. So we've gone up to 50 miles of range available on the next generation Volt, and we've gone up to we've improved the generator, the 1.5 liter four cylinder engine that's now used on the next gen Volt. So that vehicle will exceed 400 miles of range. So this is really about, you know, being able to put a portfolio of products together into the Chevrolet brand,
right?
That meets different customer needs. You know, some people want a full electric vehicle, and we're offering something super practical and usable every day for those people. Those that are looking for something more, we've got the extended range vehicle with the Chevrolet Volt.
What's the long range picture here? I mean, beyond 2017, maybe 2020, are we looking at a whole fleet of vehicles from trucks to SUVs to maybe even sports cars, something in line with a Camaro or a Corvette that's about 100% electric?
Well, I think at the moment, you know, our focus is on where we're going towards for 2017, and we certainly see these two products, the Volt and the Bolt EV concept, as being at the heart of our electrification portfolio. But we have a long-term commitment to electrification within the Chevrolet brand.
Yeah.
You can see through the Volt, the first generation Volt, the Spark EV that currently is our entry in the pure battery electric vehicle segment.
Yeah.
You know, we've developed the Volt 2 into our second generation and then into the Bolt EV. So there's a long-term commitment to electrification within the Chevrolet portfolio.
Good luck at the Detroit Auto Show, Stuart Norris with General Motors. The Chevy Bolt, there's a picture of it on our show fun page, and click on the picture. It'll take you to the Chevy Bolt page there and learn more about that vehicle. Good stuff. Hey, what do you do if you booked your dream vacation to Europe, including France and maybe Germany, where there's all that unrest in the aftermath of those terrorist attacks in Paris? Our travel guy walks you through it all next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, we were just checking out that Chevy Bolt on the on PhilHewlettAndFriends.com on the show fun page. It's kind of a cool-looking car.
Yeah, it's got like a little... I agree with you when you say that. What would you say, custom SUV or converted SUV? Something
like a crossover SUV.
Crossover, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. When we're talking to the GM guy, he kind of made it sound small, but I think it looks bigger than that. It's actually kind of a cool car. Go look at it on the website. Hey, in France, there are, I don't know if you've heard these reports of bomb threats at mosques. Muslims are being harassed or worse in a country that prides itself for its tolerance. But that may all be changing after those terror attacks in Paris, and protests and marchers are making more and more noise in Germany, demanding that their chancellor, Angela Merkel, who recently said Islam belongs to Germany, marchers and protesters, they're demanding an end to Muslim immigration there in Germany. So you hear this, you hear about it, and you think, great, we're going to Europe for our dream vacation. Now what? Well, Gary Warner is our travel guy, and he knows what. He joins us live now. It's a nightmare, Gary, isn't it?
It is a nightmare, Phil. And it's one that's been going on ever since, even almost before 9/11. Periodically, there's these incidents that really make people wonder whether they should be traveling over there.
So what happens? I mean, what are your options? Can you cancel short notice?
Well, here's what I tell people when these things come up is first of all, how important is this trip to you? Is this your once in a lifetime trip, or is it something where you go to Europe every year? If it's a once in a lifetime trip, go on ahead. Please go. Maybe stay. My usual recommendation is maybe cut down time in the major cities like Paris or London. That sort of thing. Get out into the countryside. You'll feel more relaxed. Because part of it, Phil, is both the actual level of danger and then people's just feeling of well-being. If you're on a vacation and you're feeling tense about terrorism, that's not much fun.
So the sense of danger, is that overblown, do you think? Because you're leaving and your mom and your aunt, they're all saying, don't go, you're going to die.
I would have to look back to make sure I am correct on this, Phil. But I believe that since 9/11, no tourists have been killed in Europe on these attacks.
Yeah.
Basically, it's targeted attacks. This was a kosher delicatessen, kosher market that's out at Port de Vincennes, which is way out on the ring of outside of Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a few years back, there was a bombing at Joe Goldenberg's delicatessen. This is back, I think, 70s, 80s, which is right in the Marais. The radical Islamists did say right after the first attacks that they wanted all the Jewish businesses in the Marais to shut down. So,
yeah. Well, let's say your mom's going to... She's going to have a heart attack and die if you continue on your trip. So you decide, okay, we'll cancel this. We'll come up with some other plan. You've got to cancel your airline, your hotel, and maybe you even have some prepaid excursions. Walk us through all of that. Can you get all your money back?
Well, it depends. First of all, there's two ways, whether or not you had insurance and whether the insurance allows for this sort of unrest as a reason. Most of the airlines and the cruise companies are pretty good about letting you rebook. They're not going to give you your money back, but they'll say, okay, if you don't want to go right now, we will rebook you for next year or something like that. So check with your airline, check with your travel company, check with the cruise company.
And maybe your credit card company as well. You talk about travel insurance. Often that's a feature with your credit card, is it not?
It is. It is. I would really tell people not to get themselves into a situation where they don't go and are battling with somebody over, say, $6,000, $7,000. I would just go ahead and go. The organized travel industry is very smart. When I was on the Queen Elizabeth, and we were on an Eastern Mediterranean cruise 2 years ago, went up into Turkey. But when we were coming back down, we were supposed to go to Alexandria in the north of Egypt. And it was right after the Islamist groups had come to power. And there were riots in Alexandria, and the president came out and said that he couldn't protect people against these what he believed were legitimate riots. So the captain of the ship just canceled Alexandria. Hmm. And he was a veteran guy. In fact, he was the first captain of the Love Boat back when it was with Princess Cruise Lines. But these folks are smart for the most part, except for the idiot that, you know, ran the ship aground in Italy trying to wave at his friends.
Yeah.
But they're not going to put you in the line of danger whenever they can. I mean, there's no guarantees, obviously.
Right, right. Okay, let me ask you this. Can you fly into Paris or, say, Dresden and then hop on a train? And if so, how far should you go before you start looking back?
What do you mean? I'm not quite sure what
you mean. Well, you want to get away from the potential unrest, you know, there in Paris and in Dresden,
right,
in Germany. And so if you fly into one of those towns, or you get into them one way or another, and you take a quick look around, take a picture, hop on a plane, and then a train, that is, because they've got trains,
right,
there.
Trains.
And then you head north or east or west, whichever it is. And how far should you go before you feel absolutely safe? And again, your mom's not going to have a heart attack because, hey, Mom, look where I am. I'm in the Black Forest now and everything's great.
Well, the smaller the town and the mix of the town and whether the town's having issues is always a decision. One of the real problems in Paris, the last time that I ran into this, was there were, unlike in the United States where the low-income areas are in the center of the city and then you have the more affluent suburbs, in Paris, the rich live in the city and there's this ring of suburbs right outside. And when they were burning cars a few years ago and having riots, the most dangerous part of the trip was getting from Charles de Gaulle Airport through the Ring Road into the center of Paris. Once you were in the center of Paris, it was fine. But so it's things like that. I would suggest probably most of the rail lines now go to the airports. Don't need to go into the main towns. Get into the second and third level cities. Particularly in areas that there isn't current unrest, or was unrest in the past. I want to do here is tell people keep an open mind as much as possible. I don't want people saying, "Oh, there's Muslims in Birmingham," like this idiot on Fox News said the other day, or "I'm not going to go to Marseille," or "I'm not going to do this or that." If there's something you really want to see, go and see it. Just be smart. But if this kind of thing really is bothering you, go to Rothenburg-Obertober in Germany, which is an old medieval town. You'll love it. You'll remember it for the rest of your life. And cut a couple of days out of Berlin or Dresden, Hamburg, a big problem area. Often that's where they a couple of days ago burned down a printing press that was going to reprint some of the Charlie Hebdo cartoons.
Hmm. Yeah.
So,
Gary Warner, well said. And before I let you go, I know that you followed the NCAA football championship game last night with some special interest. Can you tell us why?
I did. Yeah. Well, my brother is a duck, and I don't mean an actual duck. He's an Oregon duck guy.
Ooh, what a relief!
And I don't know if you guys realize that University of Oregon has this really weird contract with Nike, where Nike just creates all these uniforms for the University of Oregon. The average player gets, at the beginning of the season, seven different helmets, seven different jerseys, six types of cleats, and six types of sneakers. And they mix them up all during the year with different sort of things. Now, technically, in the old BCS days, the national champion would have been Oregon.
Yeah.
So when they played in the Rose Bowl, they played with their championship colors, which was those great green traditional colors that you have, and they played a great game. Now, in the national championship game, they are technically, again, the dominant team, and what they usually wear are these green uniforms.
Right, we love the green.
But they decided that they would wear their alternative uniform, which in this case was the white helmet and the white jerseys, the all white thing
with some black and gray trim. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, with these weird duck feathers on the side, and they got whomped.
Yeah,
and the thing is, this is not the first time this has happened. 2011 national championship game against Auburn, they wore very similar uniform. And it was a closer game, but they got killed. Get rid of the white uniforms.
I agree.
Get rid of the white
of
uniforms.
Of course.
You know, do all the different things and stuff like that. But, you know, these guys looked like, the New England Patriots or something out there.
Yeah. You know, Nike could just buy them a trophy and it's all better, right?
Right. I like the idea. It's cool that Nike's doing all this stuff, and they have some really cool uniforms, these black uniforms with the green helmets. But there was no green that you could see last night. You know, they didn't look – I don't know if I can use this term. They didn't look badass.
You can't use that term.
Okay. They didn't look like, you know
– tough.
Like trouble.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
They
look like Raiders light.
Yeah, I just that's going awfully nasty.
But, yeah, of course, that's worse than what you said.
Why not go with black, you know, jerseys and
with a green stripe,
or something like that.
You got to have a nod.
So I want to let you know that it's all this Nike deal, and twice now in the biggest games of Oregon's career, they've gone with these ugly white uniforms and lost.
Yeah, fire the advisor. Gary Warner, thank you. You're back next week, and we'll have more travel insight from you as usual. Thanks for all the great advice.
We'll
today.
Try to get back to some more happy time stuff.
Sounds good.
I just wanted to get people. Oh, one last thing, Phil.
Yeah.
Travel.state.gov has the updates on what's going on worldwide, and there is a new worldwide caution that will give you information on each continent and some specifics on where to
travel.state.gov. Okay, we'll put a link to
that's
it
right.
on our page. All right, very good. Gary Warner.
Take care of your eye.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
All right, up
Bye.
Next, we play a little game we've never played before. It's brand new. It's called What Did You Eat Last Night?
Oh,
and then the top 10 guys women fantasize about cheating with. That's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Hey, we have an update for you here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Earlier in the program, we talked about a 9-year-old kid. Where was he? In Idaho, Iowa, or
Idaho?
It was Idaho, Aaron.
Yes.
We have an update on him. It's breaking news.
Yes, breaking news. He is out of juvenile detention center, and the prosecutor who put him there and issued the warrant said, in a statement, he regretted the decision.
Oh.
So he's now out.
I have a feeling folks from the media
him.
Have been calling him and asking him questions like how in the world can you.
For gum.
Yeah,
gum.
Right.
Yes.
And so he thought, okay, maybe I'm being a little harsh. This is bad media, bad press, and do it right. Okay, in a moment, we're going to find out the top 10 guys that women fantasize about cheating with. But first, we're going to play What'd You Have for Dinner Last Night? And we're just going to go around the table here.
Do you have any theme music for that?
Yeah.
We
and
need
I think,
some.
I think, Chris, knowing what kind of food you imbibe and just kind of scarf down your face from time to time, we want to start with you and just see what you had last night.
Well, last night was a sort of a special night. I had fish and black bean street tacos, and they were fantastic.
Really?
Yes, my sister made them. They were homemade. She even put the tortilla shells in the pan-fried the tortilla shells and had some great hot sauce on top of them, a little bit of Spanish rice on the side. It was one of the best meals I've ever had. I was starving.
Really?
I was banking on you saying over-microwaved cup of noodle.
Normally, that's what I eat. Usually, it's either a peanut butter sandwich, an egg sandwich, or two packets of Top Ramen.
Yeah.
How many tacos did you have to eat to get full?
Just asking. I had four tacos and a nice pile of rice.
Okay. Over to you, Aaron.
Well, this is why I asked, because I had tacos, too, at a very
Shishi restaurant.
Oh.
And they were quite tasty, but they were literally $6 each and about an inch and a half long.
Wow.
Yes.
And did they come on one of those big white plates with the, like, the salsa is in a design, you know, where they kind of draw on the plate with the salsa?
The plate, it wasn't huge, but considering how small the tacos were, it did look bigger than it actually was, and it was decorated quite nicely.
Did you have a special drink or anything to go with it?
I did. I had a cucumber martini. Ooh. That was bigger than the taco.
Wow.
For sure.
And more than $6.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Okay. And mm-hmm. and did you pay?
No. That I did not.
Well played, Aaron. Gotcha. Well played. Okay, Brooke, it's your turn. Come on. It's okay.
Oh, I'm embarrassed.
No, it's fine. This is why it's a game.
Oh, I know I was going to be quizzed on my dinner the next day. I had pumpkin soup.
Ooh.
And then I had...
That's unusual.
A salad.
Pumpkin soup and a salad.
It was okay.
You're trying to make it sound boring. Pumpkin soup.
It was
is,
from Trader Joe's.
Is intriguing.
Oh, their stuff is good.
It was. I had never tasted it before, so I was reaching out. I was broadening my horizons. I was shaking it up.
All right. I'm going to. I'm almost embarrassed to say what I had for dinner last night
because it was so awesome.
Well, let's see. I had a bison burger.
Oh. That's a
is
buffalo,
that
right?
Yeah, it's something like that. No, it's not a buffalo. It's a bison. They're two different things, right? But this was
sure
this
illegal.
Was juicy and light. It was surprisingly wonderful.
Yeah.
On one of those brioche buns. Okay, so now you see where we're going. It gets worse. I had fried calamari. And it gets worse. Mushroom risotto with a truffle oil.
Oh, man. Man.
How are we doing?
I'm hungry, if that's what you're trying to do.
Stomach's starting to growl.
To drink, I had a craft amber ale from Hangar 24.
Where were you? What is all this?
Delightful. And for dessert, a creme brulee with...
You can eat like me.
Yeah. Now I know why he wanted to play this game, too.
I know you would brag.
Yeah. All right. There you go.
We're living the good times.
Uh-huh. See, these are all delicious, right?
Yeah.
Okay, next time we play, I'll have one of those
macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, those Fiesta packs from Del Taco. We'll probably have one of those. Okay. Thanks for playing along in What'd You Eat for Dinner Last Night?
Who wins?
Yeah. No, I think
I'm pretty sure Phil just won hands down.
And that's why we played.
No, the pumpkin soup was awesome. All right, I'm afraid this is going to make you paranoid every time your wife leaves the house, whether she's going to work, yoga, or even to see your brother.
Uh-oh.
And maybe you should be paranoid, guys. I'm talking to you, and your survey has asked, and ladies, you can help me out with this and tell me if any of this is true. A new survey asked 4,000 women which guys they fantasize about cheating on you with, and here are the top 10. Maybe I should start from the bottom. Number 10.
You don't want to get to my name too quickly.
2% said her doctor.
Really?
That's kind of weird.
Wants to cheat with on you with her doctor.
Well, what kind of doctor?
5% said her favorite bartender.
Uh-huh. Okay.
They can be cute.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. And
they're always very friendly.
And they'll make you drinks.
And then that's true.
And you'll lose
and
your senses.
Listen to you when you want to talk.
That's right. They're good talkers.
They're like therapists sometimes.
Yeah. Well, speaking of therapists, next is her physical therapist.
Oh, okay.
You want to get physical with your physical therapist.
Like a trainer or a physical therapist?
Well, you know, it's you're like you got to work out that injured thigh. Mm.
So they're saving you at the same time. They're making you feel better. Okay.
Exactly.
There we go.
See? This is good. It raises. He wants to raise your endorphins a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Number 7 is, and 7% said they'd like to cheat on you with your brother.
That's weird.
That's not nice.
That's really weird.
Uh-huh.
It's like right there with your best friend.
But with your brother.
Oh, wait, that's probably on there too, so just wait.
I know.
Chris, would you cheat with your brother's wife?
No. With my brother's wife?
Do you have a brother?
No.
If your brother's wife came on to you.
Honestly, maybe as a younger man in my early 20s, I might have done something like
that. But
you'd
put your foot down
and
say,
now you're grown up.
And more self-control, more than anything.
Okay. Number 6, 9% said they cheat on you with a woman.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Which
hello.
I guess girls just get each other better. I don't know.
I don't know. They get each other? Okay. Well, fine. 9% are getting each other.
Get each other is what I meant. They understand the emotions.
All right. Number 5, we're halfway through the list here. 10% said they would cheat on you with her ex.
That makes sense.
I have I've never done backsies, but I mean, I hear
I like
people,
backsies.
Yeah,
backsies.
People sort of circling back
I'm
around.
I'm sorry.
Like, yeah.
Tap, tap, no backsies.
Yeah, I like that. Backsies.
I don't do that.
Number four, 10% told the surveyors that they would cheat on their husband with one of his friends.
Oh, there you go.
I'm sure that happens quite a bit.
And the friends, I think, are there, right?
And I think the friends always say, I would never do it, but they will.
Yeah.
That's what I think, yeah.
They're maybe all, once enough,
I've heard stories.
Once enough time has passed, you know?
That's when you tell your friend that you cheated on...
Right.
Yeah.
With your wife.
After some time has passed.
13% said a neighbor...
Mr. Rogers.
Watching him out there in the tank top doing the yard, getting all sweaty, drinking the iced tea.
No, neither.
Never had that neighbor?
No.
Okay. 18%, this is number two, a colleague or boss.
Totes.
Really?
I haven't, but I'm sure it happens all the time.
The boss?
Well, boss is bad.
Well, colleague, co-workers.
All right.
The work wife and the work husband and all that kind of stuff.
And then this is the one that I don't understand because I've never been in one of these classes, but I understand you get sweaty and real intimate. 20% said that they would cheat with their yoga teacher.
I don't think that would ever happen.
Well, you're in those yoga pants. It's a kind of a sexual situation, is it not?
But downward dog,
upward dog. A man yoga teacher to me just doesn't do it for me.
Up and down the dog is all they're talking about.
I was really hoping you were going to say favorite radio broadcaster.
Not on the list.
Darn it.
Hey, we like your comments.
Keep dreaming.
Click on contact at philhewlettandfriends.com. There's a page there for you. Twitter, we're at Faf Show. Facebook.com/Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, who's here.
Oh.
For Aaron Myers, for Brooke, for Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Talk to you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports a Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports a Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.